Safety, dependability, and power. Chevy Silverado isn't happy unless the work is hard and the day is long. No wonder Silverado is America's number one best-selling retail pickup truck. Go to ChevyDriveChicago.com and put a Silverado in your toolbox.
The WGN Radio Football Podcast.
With the draft, I feel really confident where we're at. I think this one's going to be a little wild, but we're going to be prepared for all the different scenarios that pop up.
With the 10th pick, the Chicago Bears select...
Let's draft day.
We can do some really good things to add to our football team and bring good players in.
It is draft day.
Go Bears.
It's the WGN Radio Football Podcast, sponsored by Circa Sports Illinois. Sports betting the way it should be.
Go Bears!
Here's Kevin Powell.
Welcome into a fresh episode of the WGN Radio Football Podcast. I'm Kevin Powell, joined once again by Herb Howard from the Bigs. It's the draft episode. I love draft week, Herb. So much talk for weeks leading up to it has finally arrived. Are you a draft junkie? You like the mock drafts? You get into it?
I do not like the mock drafts. I love the draft. I always have. I remember being a kid, KP, and like interested to write the draft down every year. Each pick, each player, what school they went to, what position, which team drafting them. And I've still got that notebook around just year after year of writing them in that notebook. But leading up to the draft, no, I don't like it. I don't like the mock 4.0 and 5.0 or 17.0. It's like, by the time you make 20 mocks, sure, you picked the right somewhere. But it's like, no, I get sick of it.
You know, back when I used to carry much more useless sports information, I used to be a wizard at telling people which college football players went to. And I think it probably stemmed from the draft days. You just tied a player to a school. I'm not as good at it these days, but I still love the draft. It is up at Lambeau this year, first time in Green Bay, which I think will be a pretty cool setting. I like that the NFL bounces the draft around. We had it in Chicago for a couple of years. But as of now, Herb, as we record this a little less than 24 hours until the draft begins, the Bears do hold the 10th overall pick. So I'll just start with, what do you think the Bears are going to do with the 10th pick, Herb?
I am as unsure about what the Bears are going to do with their draft pick as I have ever been. Usually, the Bears have such a glaring need somewhere that you're like, okay, they have to get a tackle or they have to get a quarterback or whatever it is. And just because of the work they've done, you know, so far this offseason, free agency, capitalizing on some pretty good trades, and filled a lot of their needs. And so it creates themselves a lot of flexibility going into it. And it's leaving me clueless as to what I think is going to actually take place. I think so many things they can do make a lot of sense. I don't think there's any way they can mess this up. I think that's a really, really good thing. But it's so many different directions that they can go that make sense to me that I can't really pigeonhole into one player or even one position.
Yeah, the trades helps with that. So if you're talking about the flexibility and no major glaring needs, acquiring Tooney and Jonah Jackson and signing Dolman, you really sort of fix the interior part of your offensive line. I think to me, I wouldn't necessarily call it glaring, but I think the next step for the Bears, Herb, is depth. And you look at teams like Detroit and you immediately think depth. That roster is just, it is filled. And I think for me, the depth they need is at the line, both sides of the football, offense and defense. Now, I'm not necessarily saying they need to make it a full-blown priority to draft a lineman at 10. I don't think anybody's going to be questioning a lineman draft pick at 10 for the Bears. I will say that with the two second-round picks, if they do want to get a little greedy with that 10th pick, I think they can. And I know Genty's name has come up quite a bit. I don't think Genty's going to be there at 10. Warren, the tight end out of Penn State, that one feels like a realistic possibility at 10. Give another weapon to Ben Johnson. We know what that great quarterback tight end connection can mean. Look at Kansas City. Look at Gronk. I mean, we've seen that. And I'm a Cole Kmet fan, but is Cole Kmet really a huge difference-making tight end? I don't know about that. Warren might be that guy. So I think with the 2 seconds, if they want to get a little greedy and they want to go the tight end route, you know, sure. I think I'd be okay with that, Herb.
Yeah, I'd be fine with it, too. I think because of the flexibility that we're talking about, they put themselves in a position to sincerely be able to take the best player available. And I know we hear that every single draft, and it's usually not true. Usually teams have a glaring need that they have to address as soon as they can address it. And so, but I don't think that's the case for the Bears this year. Not to say they've got a complete roster. They certainly don't. Not to say that they're ready to be a Super Bowl contender. I don't believe they are. But they do have enough talent on this roster to where, you know, they can look at it and say, well, who's the best player on our board? And if that player is a tight end, if that player is a running back, then so be it. Go ahead and draft him. You also have three picks in the top 41, like you're alluding to, that then allows you to come back and say, well, this thing isn't me. We do have to address this at some point, probably, you know, earlier than later. Then you still can, you know, at 39, you can go to the defensive line. At 41, you can go to the offensive line or vice versa or whatever. So I think they have a really unique opportunity for the Bears, at least, to go ahead and take the best player on their board. If that's Tyler Warren, go for it.
And I think it also opens up the possibility of trading the 10th pick. And I know we started with mock drafts. I know you're not a big mock draft guy, but I'm kind of scrolling through some mocks, and I stumbled on Peter Schrager, now with ESPN, who I respect, big fan of. And he actually projected Colts moving into the 10 spot, Bears moving down to 14, Colts selecting Colston Loveland, the tight end out of Michigan, and the Bears still ending up with the 14th pick selecting Calvin Banks Jr., the left tackle out of Texas. I think if that plays out, Herb, and they acquire an extra pick in that move, I think Bears fans would be thrilled if this is the way it played out.
Yeah, I mean, they will be completing the process of overhauling that offensive line, and now you got your left tackle of the future. You know Darnell Wright's on the other side. You feel pretty good about what's happening on the interior. You start to look for depth or, you know, kind of that next wave of young guys inside. But I think that would be a really good move. I think Calvin Banks, he's really fluctuated. I've seen him as high as, like, you know, 7 or something like that, and then I've seen him as low as, like, mid to late 20s. And he's an interesting case in this draft in terms of where he's going to go. But I think that would make a lot of sense for the Bears. I think, again, that's just one of those scenarios where I wouldn't be able to honestly, you know, critique it in a negative way. I wouldn't be able to do that. That makes some sense to me. And then you figure out, you know, what you're going to get back for. I think you're going to talk about trying to get a significant pick, you know, another second or a third or something. You probably have to go back really far. I don't know if 14 is enough to get you one of those, but it'll get you another bite of the apple in 4th or 5th round or something like that. So, and then, like, again, you complete the overhaul of your offensive line. So it makes a ton of sense to me.
Ryan Poles, in his pre-draft press conference this week at Hallis Hall, says it could be a wild one. Those were his words.
Yes.
And there's been some chatter over, I would say, the last 48 hours about some potential movement inside the top 10. We're talking about trades and the possibility. Cam Ward to the Titans at 1 seems like the most slam dunk when we look at the draft. And then Travis Hunter obviously factors in big, the two-way player out of Colorado. Will Campbell is, I would say, widely viewed as the top offensive lineman available. Doubt he drops to 10 as well. Ashton Jeanty, a lot of talk as well. The Raiders, you never know what they're going to do at 6. But Abdul Carter, the edge rusher out of Penn State, and I saw him play a couple times this season. He's the real deal. Totally understand why he's viewed as the top defensive player in this draft. Let's just throw this hypothetical your way, Herb. Bears get ultra aggressive and find a way to move up to get Carter. Obviously, it depends on cost, but does that scenario, are you immediately checking that off? No way that Poles is doing that? Or, because I'm thinking about, I'm like, all right, you know, they're going to view themselves as playoff contenders at minimum this year. We know they are. Another edge rusher like Carter, I think, is the real deal. What do you think that could be a possibility, the Bears getting aggressive and moving up?
Yeah, I think it's a possibility. You know, throughout the majority of this process, I was saying, no, that's not a real possibility. Lately, I started to think that it is a possibility. And initially, I was only thinking about it for Mason Graham. If he was to slide down to 7 or 8 in that range, I could see the Bears go ahead and making that move to go and get him. But during Ryan Poles' press conference yesterday, and he was talking about moving up, I think it was Brad Biggs that asked him about the pool of players that he thinks will be available to him. And just the way he answered that question, somehow it gave me trade-up vibes, right? It's just something about the way he answered that that made me feel like he's thinking about moving up. Like, there's not enough players in that pool. It's not deep enough for him to get to 10 for one of those impact guys. He talked about guys that can come in and be difference makers and contributors right away. And it's like, well, if it's only a few of those guys, then you got to come up from 10 to do it. And if Abdul Carter becomes that guy, I'd be absolutely thrilled at whatever it costs, because, like you said, that young man is a phenomenal football player. I mean, we watched him dominate all season long. He gets to the playoffs, he's got a bum shoulder, he's dominating with one arm. And, like, you can't help but to have the Michael Parsons comparison, the same school, same number, similar makeup and build. I'm very, very impressed by him. I would be shocked if the Bears could get their hands on him, though. Like, where do you think they would have to go, KP, to get him? Because if I'm Cleveland, and I love Travis Hunter, but if I'm Cleveland, I'm about to call the boy Michael Parsons. I just put Abdul Carter across from Miles Garrett, and we are set for quite a while at rushing the passer.
Yeah, I think that it sort of feels like Ward 1 and Hunter 2 is sort of the –
yeah.
I think that's where most are going right now. And let's say that does play out. Let's say the Bears need to put in a phone call to the Giants, who for a while now have been in the market for a quarterback. I know they've got Russ, but maybe the Giants are thinking they can move down and still get one of these, maybe a Sanders, right, or Jackson Dart or somebody mm-hmm. move down and get some more picks. All right, so let's throw that hypothetical out there. Let's say the Bears need to go from 10 to 3. You swap the picks, so the Giants move down to 10, Bears go to 3, the Bears have the 2 second rounders. I would say it's at minimum one of your twos this year, another two next year, maybe both twos this year and another pick next year. Does that sound right? Or is that still not enough?
If it costs them both their twos, I don't think they'll do it. I think they have I place a lot of value on those 2 second round picks they have. So if it costs you one and then something else, or I would do it if it costs you just a number one next year. If it costs your first round pick next year, I still do it. I think Abdul Carter's that good.
So but swap also, your picks in a one next year and maybe throw in, I don't know, whatever, a fifth round pick or something.
Yeah that I would be cool with that, because, you know, ideally, you know, the thought is we're about to compete. And so that pick next year, we should be, you know, 24, 23, 20, like, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
You don't expect it to be another top 10 pick. So if you're talking about early, mid-20s, then, okay, I'll make that move. Mm-hmm. And then maybe you get something back from them on the other end, maybe a third or fourth or something like that. But I can see that making some sense. But I'm just such a fan of Abdul Carter that the thought of the Bears moving up to get him excites me.
Me too. I've kind of just been throwing that around in my head over the past couple days. I'm like, hey, maybe he will get overly aggressive and add a serious playmaker. Because from what I heard from Ian Cunningham, he kind of said there's the top-tier talent. And then it's sort of, maybe I heard him wrong, but it almost sounded like he said it's a top tier, and it kind of dips pretty quick after that. It doesn't mean they can't get value later in the draft in the second or third. But we'll see. I'm excited for it. Yeah, go ahead.
That seems to be the consensus, that there's just not a ton of separation between, you know, 10 and 40, maybe. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Right. In terms of the players on the board. So if that's how they feel and they are dead set on getting one of those top-tier guys and maybe it's 6 or 7 of them, then, hey, go for it.
What did you make of... This will be Ryan Poles' fourth draft as Bears general manager. First, though, working with Ben Johnson, he was asked about working with the new head coach. What were some of your takeaways from Poles? I know he didn't talk a ton about it, but how much do you think Johnson factors in here in the way the Bears do approach the draft?
He factors in a lot, and he should. I think it should always be, you know, a great working marriage that those two have in terms of, you know, what are the pieces that you need to be successful in the system or systems you want to run? And then, okay, how does that match up with our scouting department and what they've seen on tape from these kids, what we've heard from these kids when we brought them in, and then where we are in terms of the resources to draft them or sign them or whatever, right? And so I think you put those things together, and then you have a unified plan for what you want to do. Brian Poser said earlier, you know, this offseason, that having a clear, shared, defined vision allows them to be more aggressive, because we know exactly what we're looking for. We know exactly what we want to do, and then that allows you to be aggressive. And so if you think, again, going back to the previous conversation, if you think one of those six or seven guys is that guy that fits perfectly into your vision, then there shouldn't be a lot of trepidation about doing what's necessary to go get them, because it's clear. We're not just doing this. We aren't just kind of all throwing darts at the wall. We sincerely believe that this prospect can make the difference for us. And so, you know, I think they have to work together. I think they have to work together, because Coach Johnson at the end of the day is the one that's going to be putting this thing together. I go back to, you know, Bill Parcells, I think, when he was in Dallas or somewhere, and he's talking about, you know, if you want me to cook the meal, at least let me buy the groceries. You know what I mean? Let me pick the groceries. So that makes a lot of sense to me.
Yeah. You know, it is kind of amazing how things just really spiraled out of control last year, and the season was such a massive disappointment. And when you land the top coaching candidate, that just seems so far away now, Herb, because you go from Eberflus and things turned out to be a disaster last year, the Washington debacle, it was just bad. And then the Bears land Ben Johnson, and some of that messiness from last year just, it feels so in the distant past, and it's already like rejuvenated the organization and the fan base by getting Ben Johnson. I hope that has rubbed off on the players as well. But is that kind of what you're feeling? Because it is amazing when you finally do land that top coach, what it can do for everybody, for the organization. And I'm not saying it's instant victories and wins and everything changes on the field, but just in terms of the way the offseason has gone, it changed fast for the Bears and Bears fans.
Yeah, they were able to turn the page quickly. I mean, that's what happens. You get to go into that, you know, head coach cycle, and then you come out with the top candidate. I think that, you know, it's easy to turn the page and move on and say, okay, there are brighter days ahead. What is this thing going to look like? And then the Bears continue to make positive moves, positive acquisitions, and they put together a really, really great coaching staff. It was great to be able to sit down with a lot of the assistant coaches. The Bears made them available last week, and I thought, speaking to some of those guys, you know, Eric Bieniemy, and, you know, so a lot of the different assistants, it was just, you know, refreshing to hear them speak. I think they have a really, really good coaching staff. And again, just that shared vision. So, you know, I look at what the Bears have done this offseason, starting with, you know, hiring Coach Johnson, and there's nothing I can quibble with. There's nothing I can say, they shouldn't have done that. They should have done this. They shouldn't have done that. And that's rare around here. And so, you know, does that all work? Who knows, right? Only time will tell. But it's a situation where nobody is going to be able to look back at this thing, you know, 9-10 months from now, if they don't have the season they hope to have, and say, oh, no, they made all the wrong moves. They didn't make the wrong moves. They made the right moves. Whether they work out or not, only time will tell. But they did the right thing at each step.
That's Herb Howard. As of right now, Bears with the 10th pick, a couple of second-rounders, the 39th and 41st pick, the 72nd pick, so four picks, top 72. They also have a fifth-rounder and 2 7th-rounders as well. I'm excited for the draft, Herb. I'll see you at Hallis Hall. Any thoughts on what the potential food spread might be for reporters covering the draft at Hallis Hall tomorrow night, Herb?
I'm thinking pizza. Probably be pizza. Maybe like Lou Malnati's or something. They like to go with that, which would be perfectly fine for me, man. I give the Bears, you know, communication staff a lot of credit. The food has improved. The food has improved for the media, and we appreciate it. I think Kevin Warren has a lot to do with that, but I appreciate it. So I'm looking forward to whatever they're going to have. I think it'll be, you know, worthwhile. It turns into long, long days and nights at Hallis Hall during the draft. We're there for a lot of time. We're waiting on the Bears to make their pick, and we're waiting on Ryan Post to come down and talk about it. Then we're waiting to, you know, have a Zoom with the new player or whatever. So we spend a lot of time up there, and, you know, they do a pretty good job of making sure we're fed.
They do. They throughout camp, there were some really good spreads, some good lunch spreads. I will say last year's draft was a little disappointing, Herb. They told us wings, and it turned out they were boneless wings. So let's not have a repeat of that, Herb.
Let's not do that. That's not fried chicken wings. That's why kids' chicken nuggets.
Right. I'll take pizza, though, Herb. Either way, it'll be a good time. I'll see you up in Lake Forest tomorrow night. That's Herb Howard from the Bigs. Herb, always great talking football with you. Appreciate the time.
I appreciate you, Casey.
That was Herb Howard from the Bigs, covers the Bears, does it well. Thank you for listening. Draft special, WGN Radio Football Podcast. Thanks to Ernie Skatton for his help producing the podcast. And thank you for listening. I'm Kevin Powell. This was the latest episode of the WGN Radio Football Podcast.